Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
Today, we're going to talk about the subject of transferable skills. Now, the idea for this pod came about after I'd met Lisa, who will introduce herself in a moment. But Lisa has an interesting set of transferable skills. So let's start with Lisa. Lisa, do you want to give the listeners, the viewers, a little bit of background, introduce yourself and a bit of your background? Why have you ended up on a pod talking about transferable skills, maybe?
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. So my background prior to starting the apprenticeship in business analysis, that was in the summertime. I spent the best part of a decade as a paediatric nurse. So entirely different, obviously. On paper, you would think, what is she doing here now doing the BA apprenticeship qualification? But yeah, there's a lot more transferable skills between the two roles than you'd probably imagine. And now I'm fortunate enough to work with the lovely people over at Heard Consulting.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you, Lisa. Amanda, same question to you.
So I'm a principal consultant at Assist KD. So I deliver training on lots of different courses across the international diploma, the advanced diploma and service design as well. Prior to my life as a trainer in business analysis and service design, I actually was a scientist. Different career initially, and discovered that I do have a lot of transferable skills that help me in my current role as well.
Yeah. And so what we thought would be really good for us to have a discussion around, okay, there's other professions, other roles, and you've come from different backgrounds, paediatric nursing, science, and what transferable skills are there from a scientist into business analysis or a nurse into business analysis? So I don't have an exciting background like you both in terms of I haven't had a 10-year career as something else. I've done consultancy and I've worked in insurance, but I don't have 10 years in a really exciting profession like nursing science, unfortunately. So, right, let's start with a weird question then. Let's talk about our first jobs. And I'm going to share my very, very first job. And it was in a retail store. And it was a health food store. And my job was to make salads and jacket potatoes for people on a counter. And I had to learn about time management and hygiene and food preparation. I make a really good jacket potato. I'm not sure that helps me as a business analyst today or as a business architect or service designer, but maybe it does because it was a customer-facing role and I was having to deliver a value proposition in the content of or the context of that environment. So that was one of my very, very first jobs. I'll ask this question to you, Amanda. What was your very first job? Can you remember?
So I was a waitress in a hotel, and sort of through that ended up working bar shifts as well eventually, but also running and sort of organising weddings and things as well. So again, a kind of public facing role, dealing with the public. I think it very much helped me with communication because often you are the middleman between guests and chefs, and that's not always the easiest to sort of negotiate. But helped me a lot with time management as well, sort of especially in the busy restaurant and things like that.
And then Lisa, what was your first job?
Okay, so there's a bit of a theme here. I was also a waitress.
Oh,
it's my first job. Here's a perfect moment. Shout out to my parents for driving me half an hour to the place every Sunday. So similar sort of skills as what you've already mentioned. I'd probably add multitasking to that as well. Although my skills on the tills were not very good. A lot left to be desired there. I guess that was my first interaction with having to be professional with people and learning about different stakeholders as well, about how to engage with them.
Yeah, and a lot of team working skills, I imagine, you start to develop in those first jobs, working with the other professionals in the environment that you were in. Sorry, tripping over my own words there. But there's loads of skills you start to pick up that I think are directly relevant to business analysis professionals, change professionals in general, service designers, change managers, they've got to be able to work in a team and manage their time and deliver the promises that they make. And there's loads of things that we pick up. Right. Let's move on to then. Right. I'm really keen to know what your thoughts are about this. What on earth could a scientist have or a nurse in their skill bank that helps them to be a business analyst? So I'll start with you, Lisa. Lisa, what did you learn as a nurse that subsequently helped you in your new career as a business analyst? Any thoughts?
Yes, so I think this is something where initially other than the basic things like communication, I didn't think there would be an awful lot of overlap. But actually, the more that I've learned about being a BA, I've realised that there are quite a few transferable skills. One of them I'd say is stakeholder relationships. As a nurse, and I'm similar to, I guess, being a scientist, you're dealing with a huge amount of people at any given time. So I'd be looking after a patient. Obviously, as a paediatric nurse, my patients were children. Also looking after the families and then talking to the charge nurse, the surgeon who's come in. So it's all about managing those expectations, building relationships and being able to adapt communication to ensure that we get the best out of it and make sure we've got a shared vision, really, which was ultimately putting patient care first. So I'd say that's probably the first thing that strikes me.
I bet you've got another 10 or so skills like that. But that, I mean, if you can't manage your stakeholders as a nurse or a business analyst, you're up the creek without a paddle in terms of that's not going to be good in terms of delivering outcomes for anyone. But 10 years of really quite complex stakeholder engagement, relationship management, I'm guessing gives you a massive advantage when you start your business analysis career. And I know it's early days, but just getting on with people, it's really key, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's taken away a lot of the nerves maybe about when people say, oh, you're going to speak to a senior stakeholder today. If I didn't have that experience, I think I'd probably be a bit more nervous because I'm thinking, oh gosh, they are senior. They're the CEO of a company or they're the director. Whereas now, because I've had that experience of talking to different people across different hierarchies, I don't have that same level of nerves as I perhaps would. And I've just got the understanding that we're all human. Everybody's human, no matter where you come from. So just treat people as humans and it just goes a long way.
Well, right, Amanda, what's your key skill that you've brought across from the world of science? And I will come back to you as well, Lisa, because I think you've got loads more skills than you could mention. But let's go to Amanda. Amanda, one of the key skills you've been able to bring across, given your science background?
Well, yeah, I think probably the main one that stands out to me is sort of data analysis, being able to look at results and also sort of problem solving. I think a scientist is trying to look at something in a new way or looking at a problem and thinking, you know, how can we get to an answer or get to, you know, to transfer that to be the BA role, like looking for a solution and sort of hypothesizing the best way to get there. And yeah, I guess applying different techniques, looking at the results and trying to make sense of it. I think it's very much, I think a scientist does a very similar job to a BA really in that sense.
Yeah. And that problem solving mindset by looking at objective data, what is the problem and looking at it from different angles. And then I was really pleased you said the word hypothesis, because that's one of my favorite things to think about is like when we're thinking about solutions or even problems, what's our hypothesis? And I think this is something that business analysts, change professionals could really benefit from in terms of taking an objective view towards problems and solutions. I don't know, we should maybe not talk about it too much, but do you agree, Amanda, this objective hypothesis, data-driven approaches is something that business analysts could really benefit from?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's funny because now I've been delivering courses with Assist for a few years and I have come across quite a few BAs who were scientists as well. And we end up having that discussion and they all sort of saying the same thing, you know, I'm doing the same things really, but just applying them in a different way.
Yeah. And then that learning and knowledge mindset and outcome driven, I think there's loads there. Now, I wonder if the problem solving thing and the hypothesis testing might also fit for a medical diagnosis of a patient, trying to find the best course of care and coming up with ideas. And just, does it fit for nursing, Lisa?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that I'd made a note of before coming onto here, it was I'd put down like root cause, not symptom management, which I know is like a phrase that we throw around in the BA world, but obviously it's very much appropriate for nursing as well. So you would see a child present and with a temperature, and you wouldn't just go, oh, we'll just give them some paracetamol and that'll fix the temperature. You're saying, why have they got a temperature? Let's look at all of the history that the parents have given us. What are their observations? So you're taking everything into account, all of the facts that you've been presented with, sort of having that overarching view to then be able to say, this might be one of, you know, the route that we go down to try and fix this problem. So yeah, I'd absolutely say it's something that we practice in nursing as well.
Yeah. I wonder, and I don't know if this will fit, but stress management. I not worked in pediatric nursing and don't have an experience of it, but I'm going to imagine that managing stakeholders, solving problems in high stress situations, because we're talking about children being ill here, might be quite a useful skill in terms of you can manage your own stress levels and help your stakeholders through stressful, challenging circumstances a little. Is that in the right ballpark, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, again, it's going back to, you know, the human element of it. So for myself, it's recognizing when I'm reaching a stage where I probably need to take a step back or go and have 5 minutes, but also the same with your stakeholders and your colleagues, because especially, you know, working at a consultancy, you're going into people who are really stressed, who are needing help. They've sort of, you know, got to the make or break stage. And anybody who's a VA, you're going in to try and make, you know, positive change and improvement. So you need to be able to recognize when people are feeling burnt out, when they need a break, and to be able to communicate with them. And it's wearing that helpful hat still, whether you're a nurse or a VA, you're there to make things better and see an improvement.
Yeah. And then stress management in the field of science. Did you find some of your fellow scientists or your sponsors were stressed? Amanda, yeah, I don't know definitely. If it's as stressful as the nursing context. But
yeah, I mean, it's not a secure career, academia, being a scientist. You know, you are usually working on funding that's given for a short period of time. There's always that pressure to be coming out with the next big paper, having a big talk at a conference, being recognised and showing your worth so that you can then get the next round of funding to stay in that career. So it's I think there is a lot of stress, and I think academics are really bad for having work-life balance. I think it doesn't really exist a lot of the time, you know, because if something goes wrong, if an experiment's not worked the way you expected it to, you know, or you're having to do long hours to try and get that data, that information. And yeah, sort of stress around submitting papers. It's very common for them to come back and you have to do more work, and it can be, I think you have to be quite resilient to be sort of an academic. And yeah, again another skill that is can be transferable, because that resilience and sort of standing up for yourself is important as well.
Assertiveness then, because I've not worked in science, but I'm imagining you have some scientists that are very critical of the paper you've just written or the idea that you've just put forward, and they're very knowledgeable and confident, I'm imagining, but maybe quite direct in their feedback.
Yeah, I think you have quite challenging. Yeah, and like, I have been that person. You know, I've peer reviewed other people's papers and said, I fundamentally don't think this is correct, or that you've done the right thing here. And it's not a nice thing to do, but it's, you have to give that feedback when it's necessary, because that we can't just sort of allow stuff to go out into the world that's nonsense or, you know, not. Yeah, it's not maybe not the nicest thing to do, but I think it is a necessary part of that process.
There's a phrase that sometimes the business analyst is described of as a critical friend. So if I'm thinking about two academics peer reviewing each other's work, they're trying to help, but they are being critical. So does that chime at all, Amanda?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not like, oh, they're my friend, I'm going to just let this paper go through. You know, you have to sort of think what's the journal wanting, and really looking at the results. So many times I'd see papers put together where they're showing one thing and saying another, And I think, again, it's that critical thinking aspect of being a scientist that, again, I think is really a useful skill for a BA as well, to sort of, as you said, objectively view things and also holistically view things, not just sort of, oh, this is one data item or one graph in isolation, but what does the whole picture show?
Lisa, I'm going to share I think I shared it with you before. My wife has a background in nursing, and she shared with me a few stories about nursing. And sometimes she might have had to been a critical friend to a doctor suggesting a course of action and approach, but maybe they weren't thinking holistically, as Amanda said. Have you been in that situation where you've had to be a critical friend to the doctor or even to a parent or a patient?
Yeah, probably more times than I'd like to think about. I think with nursing, but especially, you know, paediatrics, it's a specialist area, so you would have, you know, doctors on rotation, and it could be their first ever experience working within paediatrics, so things are, you know, the work just a little bit differently. So it's having to say to people in the right way, oh, we don't quite do it here, but this is the reason why. So instead of just trying to put people down, you're explaining why you don't do it that way. And same, you know, with families and with children, if they're doing things differently, like they're not managing the diabetes correctly or whatever it is, you know, they're running around when they've got a cast on the leg, you're having to say to them, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And it's getting people to, again, go back to that shared vision. That helps so much, doesn't it? If you're all on the same path, you're all going to work towards the same goal.
Yeah. And that shared vision of the outcomes for change professional, scientist, nurse, any business context or organization context, I think massively important. One area of thought, and it's just popped into my head, is attention to detail and documentation. So one of my former mentors used to say the words, if it's not written down, it doesn't exist. Now, in nursing, if it's not written down in the patient notes, it's absolutely critical you get your notes right. For those handovers, for the patient care, for the record keeping, do you think you've got attention to detail in your written outputs more so than you might have had if you'd not had that nursing background, Lisa?
Absolutely. I write everything down, absolutely everything. I write down like the time, who said it. If I go to a meeting, even if it's just sort of an informal meeting with stakeholders, I'll always write down the date, what the meeting was about and who attended. And it's not very nice. It's a negative in a way, because it almost comes from a place of, yes, you're doing it to look after people, but also you need to look after yourself, which is sort of what's ingrained into you. But I guess it's going back to that traceability. Again, you know, a transferable skill from the BA in nursing world. The only reason you document is for traceability reasons, isn't it? So it's the same thing. But yeah, absolutely. Always writing everything down. The smallest detail, the smallest thing, I hear that and I recognize it. And I'm looking for patterns when people are speaking. And yeah, I don't think you can ever switch off that mindset. But I don't necessarily know if it's like a nursing or a BA thing. It's just who you are. It's just your mindset, isn't it, that's suited to different job roles.
Yeah, and you're interested and you're listening and you're paying attention to the small details that could have a massive impact on outcomes, that achievement of that shared vision. And I'm going to share, quite often I will ask Amanda to review my written outputs, because she's one of my favourite reviewers, because she finds the error, she finds the typo. Amanda, do you think some of that comes from your science background, that ability to zoom in?
Yeah, again, that attention to detail, documenting everything, you know, every experiment you run, you have a lab book that you have to fill in or should be filling in. Some people are better at it than others, but filling in every day exactly what you've done, exactly the conditions that have been used, what were you testing, all of those kind of things. Because, you know, when you come to write a paper, it might be 2 years, 3 years down the line that you put together some of those results and you need to say, well, this was the methodology that was used. So yeah, every single thing has to be documented, because you're not going to remember years down the line or months down the line. So yeah, really, I guess that probably is where that side of my brain is really honed in on that skill.
Yeah. And there's some BAs and change organizations that are trying to move away from documentation heavier approaches. And I'm not in favor of documentation for the sake of it, but having a record, even if it's a picture, This is the picture of a context diagram, could be a process model, but it's a record of what you discussed and what was the output, which might help with the bigger outcomes. Really, really useful. So we're going to come to Lisa next. Any final thoughts, transferable skills for anyone that's thinking about moving into a business analysis profession, maybe from nursing or from any background? Any final thoughts?
I think if you're thinking of moving careers, especially into BA, that's my experience, do it. It's the best thing that I've done. I absolutely love it. And I think you've got more transferable skills than what you think. I spoke to, you know, old nursing colleagues who said to me, "You're crazy. What do you know about business? How can you go in and do this?" But it's not about me knowing everything about business. It's about me being able to have those skills to be able to extract it using the toolkit. So yeah, go for it. I think absolutely everybody will have some skills, maybe the ones we've spoke about today or other skills that you've identified. But yeah, I love it. So go for it.
You're enjoying your career as a BA so far. Wow. And a huge advert for an apprenticeship program in business analysis as well. So fantastic. Amanda, any final thoughts on transferable skills?
I think I back what Lisa just said, that you probably have a lot more transferable skills than you realize when you sit down and start really looking at what are you good at, what do you enjoy, looking at your experience of previous job roles, and I think then you might realize that you have a lot to offer. And I guess just to mention, you know, thinking about career change, I think it does take quite a leap of faith. I think you have to be quite it's a bit vulnerable, and I don't know, Lisa, if you found this when you sort of told colleagues that you were changing roles. I actually was surprised by people's reaction. A lot of people sort of turning around to me and saying, "I wish I'd changed career earlier." And people who were, to me, at the pinnacle of like their academic career saying, "I can't do anything else and I feel a bit trapped." And I was really sort of shocked and surprised by that. But I guess for me, it really sort of just made me feel like I've definitely made the right decision here to change career. Just if you're thinking about it, as Lisa sort of said, just go for it. I think there's a lot to be gained from learning new things and exploring something completely different.
Wow, Lisa, did you want to come back on that vulnerability point? Did you have that? Anyone kind of putting seeds of doubt or saying, wow, what you were doing? And I know I said I was coming to you for a final thought. I'll come back to you again.
For a final thought. I did. I got a lot of comments. I can't say they were all positive initially. I think a lot of it comes down from when you are a nurse, you have to register every 3 years. So people were saying, are you going to get your registration? But for me, I was sure that I was making the right decision. I'd reached this point, you know, for a reason. And I'm just really lucky that I've been supported by people with my transition into my new role. And everyone has been really positive on this end of it. And now people can see how happy I am. I think it's given other people maybe some confidence. I've had people reach out to me to work with saying, like, how did you get into your new role?
Wow.
Wow.
I want to say a massive thank you to you both, two BA Brew debutantes, which is amazing. Lisa, we'd love to have you back if you will join us. And Amanda, I hope to see you on this podcast again soon. So any thoughts, any ideas for future BA Brews, please do email us at babrew@assistkd.com. And thank you very much for watching and listening. Please do like, share and subscribe. Thank you.
Thank you.